This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 29th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the credit crunch and how that's affecting the student loan business here in central Illinois. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, today's news. With less than a month to go before the scheduled end of the Illinois legislature's spring session, the most talked about topic at the state capitol is the fate of Governor Rod Blagojevich. Sean Crawford has more.
The governor has not been charged with any wrongdoing, but allegations made during a trial of one of his top fundraisers has raised plenty of questions over whether he awarded contracts and state appointments in exchange for campaign cash. There is support to allow recall of elected officials. The House approved it, but Senate Democrats have stymied that plan. Senator Kwame Raoul of Chicago says it's wrong to change the Constitution to go after just one person.
I mean, in terms of bad public policy, It's stupid.
But Raoul admits the governor's image is tarnished, and that makes it more difficult to get anything done in Springfield. He says if some lawmakers want to remove Blagojevich, impeachment would be a better alternative, although he won't advocate that either. Others, like Democratic Senator Mike Frericks of Champaign, are on the fence when it comes to recall.
I'd say I'm still listening because I've had a lot of my constituents call me and ask me to support this, and I generally believe that it's my job to represent those constituents, but there are a lot of arguments out there on both sides.
Frerich says he's concerned recall will make it less likely politicians will have the gumption to deal with tough issues in the future, but he admits there's a lot of frustration among voters over how dysfunctional state government has become. I'm Sean Crawford.
A judge today will sentence former teacher John White after pleas from parents of the children that White has admitted to abusing. McLean County Judge Charles Raynard could sentence White to 14 years in prison today for abusing students at a grade school in Normal. He was previously sentenced to 48 years for abusing 8 children at Urbana's Thomas Paine Elementary School. 2 people have died in an explosion at a Western Indiana coal gasification plant. The explosion at the SG Solutions plant happened yesterday morning when a metal fitting broke and released pressurized gas. Plant manager Richard Payonk in West Terre Haute says the gas ignited immediately. The 2 workers were employees of a contractor that was doing work on the plant. A decision by the U.S. Supreme Court could have an impact on Indiana's presidential primary next week. Michael Puente reports.
In a 6-3 ruling, the Supreme Court upheld Indiana's law requiring voters to show a photo identification when casting their ballot. The majority of the justices said the law does not violate a person's constitutional rights. Indiana's law went into effect 3 years ago as a way to reduce the possibility of voter fraud. But with a record number of voters expected at the polls Tuesday, and with so many being new voters, some say that could potentially block some from casting a ballot on that day if they fail to produce a photo ID. Indiana Secretary of State Todd Rokita doesn't anticipate any problems. He says no issues have come about during early voting at county courthouses where an ID is needed as well.
It just hasn't been an issue, nor has it been a problem in the last 7 elections that Indiana has had this law.
Opponents, including the American Civil Liberties Union, fear the ID law dissuades poor, older, and minority voters from going to the polls. I'm Michael Puente.
The airing of an anti-Semitic public access show on Champaign-Urbana cable TV has led to calls for its removal. But as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, the Urbana City Council is letting the program stay.
Urbana Council members last night endorsed new rules for public access programming that would limit the number of repeats allowed for non-local shows. That would include Urbana resident Timothy Brumleave's weekly show featuring anti-Semitic preachers. But several at the meeting wanted to remove Brumleave's program entirely by removing all non-local public access programming. And Alderwoman Lynn Barnes said Urbana might be better off with no public access programming at all.
And sometimes I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there are a lot of good public programs on our channel that you hate to see go away. But I think in this case, it may be worth it.
But Alderman Dennis Roberts argued the best defense against offensive programs was more public access programming from more viewpoints.
And let's let the people who have really odd ideas, and we don't believe them anyways, Let's not give them the power to control our lives through fear.
A final vote on the public access rules is set for next week. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Meanwhile, Urbana City Council will take a final vote next week on the mayor's plan to form a commission of local residents to give the city advice on sustainability issues. The Sustainability Commission would be made up of experts who study ways to use energy and natural resources more efficiently. Municipal operations would be one area for the commission to work on, but Alderman Brandon Bowersock says they won't achieve true sustainability without looking at the entire community.
Even if we turn off all the lights, if the governmental sector is only something like 3% of greenhouse gas emissions, we're not going to meet that goal that the mayor signed us up to of getting 7% below the 1990 levels by the year 2012. So it has to be a community effort.
Besides endorsing the Sustainability Commission last night, council members also discussed ideas for achieving sustainability, from using waste oil from local factories for biodiesel to encouraging recycling construction materials. The University of Illinois' retirement of Chief Alinowick has not stopped former chiefs from naming somebody new to wear the uniform. Members of the Council of Chiefs selected former Assistant Chief Logan Ponce to serve as a successor to Dan Maloney. Ponce says there's still dialogue within the council to determine his exact role, but he says the selection will bolster efforts with the university to try to get the chief reinstated. The University of Illinois retired the chief last year. Ponce says the community's been supportive and hasn't at all diminished the chief tradition.
It's been such an important history. It's been a part of Illinois from the beginning. It's been passed down to generations. It's just been something that is unique to Illinois. It's part of Illinois. It's part of our heritage, and we really feel like we need to keep that.
Ponce says student support of Chief Alinowick has been strong, pointing to a recent non-binding referendum on student election ballots supporting the reinstatement. The head of the Champaign County Forest Preserve District says a new 160-acre park will give people long-awaited access to the wild places along the Sangamon River. Jerry Padgett says a state grant and a grant from a private foundation will help the district buy the land north of Mahomet from a farm family.
The present owners had stopped grazing animals in anywhere near the river and planted thousands of new trees, which are now probably 10 to 12 years old.
The rest of the farm will become prairie, with trails, parking, a public shelter, and canoe trails rounding out the preserve. Padgett says the new park should be open to the public access within the next year. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The credit crunch in the U.S. economy, sparked by the home mortgage meltdown, is showing signs of spreading to college students. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker has more.
I don't know. It was weird.
Thousands of students are passing between classes during the fine spring morning on Illinois State University's quad. Many, if not most of them, are in school with the help of student loans. Those in college and soon to be in college are looking for loans for the fall right now and will want to lock in by summer. For some, the spreading credit crunch may make that more stressful. It's a concern for junior Matt McHugh of Glenview, who has loans of about $3,000 a year.
In about a year and a half, I'm going to be responsible for those $12,000 that could readily become more.
There are a couple major types of loans: Stafford loans, which are backed by the federal government, and alternative loans through private lenders. First, the Staffords. Colleges and universities facilitate Stafford loans at a set interest rate directly through the government, which uses a private firm to service the loan, most often Sallie Mae. The other way is through outside lenders who are required to offer the same interest rate. ISU and Normal, for instance, is direct. Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington and the University of Illinois, on the other hand, use a series of so-called preferred lenders who vend to their students. Illinois Wesleyan University financial aid director Scott Sebring says dozens of those private lenders are exiting the business.
Many of them are finding that they can't even make Stafford loans. You know, no one will either buy the bonds or, you know, there's four different ways they could finance it. But in a lot of cases, none of them are happening. You know, the concern right now with the government is if no one's, you know, even considering buying the loan so the lenders can offer it, you know, what do we do?
Sebring says the problem appears to be a combination of the credit crunch making bankers everywhere more fearful of risk and a law change last year which reduced federal subsidies to student lenders under the Guaranteed Loan Program. One of Illinois Wesleyan University's five preferred lenders has stopped making student loans, and Sebring says because of the uncertainty in the marketplace, IWU is carefully going through the qualifications of the others.
We may have a completely different list next year. We're kind of finalizing that in the next 2 weeks. This is very unusual. One of the things we want to try to look as much as possible on the financial stability of them.
Experts say you could look at this as some of the lending small fry being weeded out, and the big players are still in the biz. But the largest, Sallie Mae, also warned analysts in a recent conference call that student loan demand is running about $3 billion a month, and available credit is only about $1 billion. And because of financial sector fears, rates are rising to get access to that credit. Now, the interest Sallie Mae charges students on these Stafford loans is federally limited. Sallie Mae says the loans it's making this year, it may lose money on, and wants the federal government to buy those instruments. Illinois State University's financial aid director, Jana Albrecht, says she's watchful, though Sallie Mae has told ISU its student population as a whole remains a good credit risk.
So, yeah, if we can't get that $10 million, that's a significant number at ISU. But so far, I haven't hit the panic button yet.
And IWU's Scott Sebring thinks the Treasury Department working with the Fed can make money available for Stafford loans. That will cover most college students. 87% of those at Illinois State University, for instance, use Stafford loans. There's legislation already through the House and pending in the Senate to address some issues. And low-income students get need-based aid. But what about people who take out so-called alternative loans to cover the difference between what a family thinks it can afford and what the federal financial aid forms say a family can afford? ISU's Jana Albrecht says for some, those forms of credit may dry up.
But you might be talking about middle-income students that have to take out alternative loans because there isn't that free money for them. And if they're middle income and their credit is not good, then yes, they will have issues.
Albrecht and Illinois Wesleyan Sebring don't think the middle income students from families of good credit will be cut off from loans, but their interest rates may very well go higher. ISU has already seen average family income of students rise in the last several years, partly because of tuition increases and perhaps partly a socioeconomic spinoff from efforts to raise academic qualifications of students. Albrecht acknowledges affordability does affect the character of the campus of the public state institutions.
Yes, I would say that it definitely does. There are some families that have to have alternative loan or the alternative loan program in order to afford ISU and, of course, other school.
And back on ISU's quad, junior Matt McHugh says the issue is broader than just college students and stretches longer than the current time frame.
They just sent out an economic stimulus package and it's supposed to stimulate the economy but by having people spend money. And if people aren't spending money because they're paying off their student loans and tuition, then that's going to make the economy even worse.
The House-passed legislation includes provisions to enable parents with mortgage delinquencies to remain eligible for college loans for their children. But even if that advances through the Senate, financial aid directors are wondering whether the continued exit of private lenders will force more colleges and universities to rely on direct federal loans and about the stress that may place on the federal system. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Part of northern and central Indiana will still be under the threat of a freeze for tonight into tomorrow morning, but the weather is turning toward the warmer overall for the two-state area. For today in central and southern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy skies, but elsewhere mostly sunny early, followed by a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs today ranging from only 45 in far northern Indiana to 58 in far southern Illinois. Champaign-Urbana's high today 52, with a little bit of cloud cover moving in late this morning. For tonight, across the two states, clear to partly cloudy. Lows from 30 in northern Indiana to 42 in western Illinois, 35 in Champaign-Urbana tonight. For tomorrow, in the north, partly sunny, elsewhere mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 56 in northeast Indiana to 75 in southwest Illinois. Champaign-Urbana's high, 68 for tomorrow. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website. will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.